Hello and welcome to the In the Money Players podcast. This is our final of our Keeneland daily shows for this spring meet. Been really fun doing these. Never done a whole meet of daily shows before. And I was surprised the time flew. It's just been so much fun talking Keeneland with this great array of guests. And that great array of guests continues today as I'm very happy to welcome in the Assistant Director of Sales Operations for Keeneland, Dean Rothmeyer. Dean, how are things?
Great, Pete. I'm excited to be on the podcast. I've been a fan and a listener for a while.
Oh, that's great to hear. I know you've got an extensive history in the game. You're one of those, you know, I come from the Saratoga Special coaching tree. You come from the slightly more prestigious Darley Flying Start crew. Am I correct in that?
Yeah, that's correct. But before that, from the rail at Ellis Park. So that's where I cut my teeth handicapping. So don't skip over that part.
That's where you establish your bona fides to appear on the show today. We're going to get to this all turf pick three in a little bit. We've been having a lot of fun this meet, talking about the new low takeout doubles and the success that they've been. Obviously, the all turf pick three, a bet that we, JK and I consulted on years ago and are very excited about its continued success. But before we get to the nitty gritty, I want to talk to you about the sale that's going on, this Horses of Racing age sale this week. And thank you in particular, not only with the racing, but the sale. I imagine you guys are a little crazy down there.
Yeah, there's a lot going on. You know, we've got sale horses in the barns. We've got race horses out there on the grounds. It's a little bit of everything, but it's exciting to have it back that, you know, after the races on Friday night. So we're looking forward to it.
We talked about this a little bit with Cormac the other day, but it does sound like this is something, if you're a race goer, especially one very interested in learning more about the racing process, perhaps even getting involved on the ownership side at some point, the sale is open to the public. What's the best way for people who are interested to observe the goings on there?
Absolutely. We'd love to have people come on down from the hill into the sales pavilion immediately after the races. You know, the bar will be open. They can kind of keep the party going down here at the sale and see some horses that they've watched during the meet go through the sales ring and, you know, follow those on to the next step in their career.
I won't ask you to pick any favorites or particular highlights in the sale, but I think that is an interesting connection in terms of horses who ran at the meet that will be going through the ring. Can you tell us a little bit more about a couple of those?
Yeah, I mean, you know, we had a horse last week that Airdrie is selling, Save the Trees. I'd suggest everybody go back and watch that replay if they didn't watch the race. Kind of had a bad trip and just came running down the lane to win first out. You know, so somebody's got a chance to pick up a horse like that and go on with them. You know, you got Unlimited Potential that ran here and won impressively, I think. Got a good figure for that race. So, you know, there's ready-made horses that have proven on the track here at Keeneland over the last few weeks. And yeah, we're excited.
You might not know this, but I'm just super curious myself. What's the balance between horses going through the sale on Friday that people are looking at them as ready-made racing prospects, as opposed to maybe potentially ones who have future careers? Is there, do you have any sense of what the balance is? Is it mainly geared towards horses who will potentially be back in the entries before too long?
Yeah, you know, it's a great time on the calendar, I think, where you get a lot of horses coming up from Florida or a lot of horses just getting started back this season. And so, you know, maybe you're getting a horse that's come up from Florida, stopped in Keeneland, and somebody's going to buy it and decide kind of which direction to go with it, kind of which region to go. Are they going to go to New York? Are they going to go overseas? So it's a great spot on the calendar for you know, people to move on with some of these horses and other buyers to pick up something that can be, you know, useful in their jurisdiction.
Absolutely. It'll be interesting to follow along. I would imagine the Keeneland website is the best way to get the up-to-date information. You have the sale streaming on there as well as results pages.
Yeah. You can watch the sale on our website and you can do a ton of research on there. You know, we've got obviously got their pedigrees. We've got race replays, DRF PPs, Ragazin, Thorograph. So you can make yourself dizzy with all the data we've got on there.
I love that. And that's something that, that I feel like, and tell me if I'm wrong about this, but is a relatively recent development in terms of having all that kind of data at the sales company. I mean, I can remember going years ago and thinking, gee, it would be so interesting to be able to page through all of this information about the siblings, et cetera. It's gotten so much better. I remember, and you might too, Dean, the days where if you wanted to look into a dam's produce, you had to bust out a CD-ROM.
Now, oh, yeah. American Produce Records. Yeah, I remember those.
DRF does such a great job providing that info. And I love the idea of the sales companies providing that directly. Is that a relatively recent innovation?
You know, it's somewhat recent, but it's something that the market obviously wants. And yeah, we're happy to provide.
Terrific stuff. Let's dive into these races on Friday. We'll do the All Turf Pick 3, which starts in race number 5. I've got a very interesting 3-year-old allowance race going 1 3/16 on the turf and a field of 11 attracted to it. Curious where your eye was drawn in here in terms of horses of interest.
Yeah, it's kind of an interesting sequence to finish out the meet. It looks like you've got turf allowance going long that's been split into a couple divisions to start and end the turf pick 3. I guess my overall strategy for that bet is, I mean, it really hinges on Warlike Goddess and whether or not you're singling, and I'll go ahead and spoil and say that I am.
you and me both.
I think this first leg is maybe where you could pick up a price. So I've spread a little bit here. I think you've got to use, Uncle Truly. You've probably got to use Swiss Slang in there. And Nomos, would be and I guess Thomas Aquinas would kind of be the short prices. But then there's a few in there at longer odds that I thought were maybe worth a look. Blue Creek is an interesting horse. He ran a lot as a 2-year-old last year. And I think they've got pretty high hopes for him this year. He's had 5 works. He's stretching out. He looks like he could get up, at a big price with Florent on board. Good Bali, with Rusty Arnold was another one that I thought might be worth a look at a big price. First time Lasix, back on grass, obviously stretching out as all of these are. And then I also threw in McAvoy, with Mark Cassie and Tyler Gaffleone.
A nice spready approach to hopefully getting something at a price. You made interesting cases on a couple of 20-to-1 shots in terms of Blue Creek and Good Bally. And Good Bally goes out for Rusty Arnold, needs no introduction. But Carrie Brian, I think is how she says her last name, a trainer who might not be familiar to every listener, but who's had a ton of success, both, with some flat horses, mainly on jumps. But definitely a trainer I could see breaking through in a race like this. I'm definitely going to take another look at Blue Creek. Was the trainer angle one of the reasons why you were interested in that one, as well as the late kick with Giroux and the irons?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, Carrie's a great trainer, and I think she's probably overlooked a little bit in some of these spots, as you say, being pigeonholed a little bit as a steeplechase trainer. But she obviously can get these 2-year-olds ready. As Blue Creek showed last year. And, I think she's just getting better and better.
So I'm a little nervous. You mentioned 7 horses and you didn't mention the one I wanted to talk about.
Oh no. Well, that's what I was going to ask. What's my blind spot here?
Well, maybe not. Iris's Dream had some angles that I liked, really did appear to move up on the grass. And so I dug into that race and it was interesting because at first glance, it's been unproductive in the fact that you've had about 8 runbacks from there and none of them have won. But I also did notice that 7 of those 8 improved their speed figures, making me think that the assigned speed figure is a little bit low. I feel like you can forgive the Florida Derby experiment, a little Derby fever. It happens and you're left with a horse that's well drawn and maybe has the speed to get a good attacking position and could just trip out in this spot. So I was pretty interested in Iris's Dream, but it's obviously a deep and competitive race. Do you see where I'm going with the Iris's Dream?
Absolutely. I mean, I can see why they took their shot in the Florida Derby, but I'm glad to see him turn right back to what this horse seems to enjoy doing, which is going long on the grass.
My first reading was, oh, this horse might just be better on dirt looking at the figures, but then doing that little extra work and thinking that figure might be low, that is one I want to include. And I do think that horse should be a price as well. So one approach in there might be to just, depending on what you'd want to do in these next two legs, look at all the ones we mentioned that are going to be sort of 6-1 and higher and take a shot. Or if you're going to go skinny in these next two legs, you have an opportunity to play all eight of them even in a bet like this, pick three. We've seen it pay enough relative to what it quote-unquote should pay that I'm not opposed to taking one leg and spreading quite a bit. We've already tipped our hand. Oh, you go ahead, Dean.
Well, I like to construct these tickets using the ABC method too, just to kind of keep price down, but I did go back and look last year when Warlike Goddess won and see what that turf pick three paid. So she paid $3. The last leg paid $4.60, and the first leg paid $36. Mm-hmm. And the turf pick three still paid $289. So, there's a lot of value.
It's such a good bet, and you just don't see that in a lot of other pools these days. You mentioned A's and B's, so I'll hold your feet to the fire on that a little bit. How would you grade out the horses that we've talked about?
I think on the whole, our morning lines here have been pretty good this year.
Well, sure, Nick does a good job.
And so I think they're probably going to fall pretty close in line with those morning lines. Just putting them in tiers that way.
Gotcha.
Six to one and under A's and, you know, that kind of thing.
Yep.
A quick and dirty way to look at it.
It's not bad. It's not bad at all. And in a bet like this also, A's and B's don't necessarily mean, it's not like in a pick four, pick five, pick six, where you're going to necessarily be like leaving horses off. It's more about having it more times, oftentimes, with your A's. And I like that idea. You know, if you are going to catch a shorter price in a spread race like this, I probably don't want to have it for the minimum. So I think that's a wise way of looking at it. Let's get to this Bewitch. We've got the grade three for the fillies and mares four and up a mile and a half. My note was, you know, death, taxes, and Warlike Goddess wins the Bewitch. She's won this race a bunch of times and looks very well poised to me to be able to do it here. I feel like when you go back through the races where she hasn't won, there's usually a pretty easy story to tell in terms of, you know, being far back at a trip that was too sharp, or simply just the saltiness of the Breeders' Cup turf last year. But it just feels to me like she's not really one that needs a setup. She usually can take care of business, and she just has so much in hand against the rest of this field. Even the theoretically subpar efforts are a couple lengths better than the rest of the competition. Let me ask it this way, since you already said you're looking to single here. If somebody were to beat her, who do you think the most likely candidate to do that is?
I guess there may be a couple in there. The most likely is probably Grand Motion's Vergara. He's great off a layoff, but there's a distance question there too. It's really hard to see her getting beat here. Even being a year older and maybe a step slower. As you say, even when it kind of turns into a messy race without much pace, which this very well could, she seems to find a way to win. I think she's just that much better than these.
I think that's right. We don't need to spend too much time trying to beat her. And I agree, Vergara is interesting, but boy, the way she emptied out in the lane here last fall, it doesn't give a lot of confidence as a horse that's going to be, you know, single digit odds into the teeth of the awesome Warlike Goddess. And that's just a race. If you can't stomach the price, first of all, consider stomaching the price in a bet like the All Turf Pick Three, because as illustrated, it can still pay. And if you can't do it, if you decide to bet against her, be prepared to be clapping her back to the winner's circle one way or the other, because she's just so cool, and I'm so happy we get to have her running here another season.
Yeah, it's fun. I mean, you know, hopefully she goes out there and puts on another show and wins her fourth. It'd be very cool to see.
Let's talk about the nightcap, the split of race number five that we already talked about. Another field of 11 set to go postward. This one, I thought we had a chance for a bit of an extreme pace situation. I thought there were a lot of horses whose best chances are going to be on or near going this distance without a lot of proven form staying this far. I was going to take the approach to look to play a cluster of closers to finish things off here. As spready as you are in the first race, how deep do you feel comfortable going here, Dean?
Oh, gosh. You know, I initially kind of had six that I was considering, which is probably too many in a bet like this. So again, I'm going to have to narrow it down. But yeah, I don't disagree with you. It seems like there are a lot of horses that want to be in the exact same spot. So it'll be interesting to see how that plays out. You know, I think Domingo's probably your likely favorite. I think he probably goes off a little shorter than 3-1 in here. Probably the most likely winner to me.
Yeah, it should be a great trip, right? Because sort of a stalk and pounce type, that can work out really well, getting the jump on the deeper closers. I was going to try to get cheeky and beat, but what you said really resonated when you said probably the most likely winner.
Yeah. I mean, I think this Catch a Wave could be a really interesting horse. You know, that's always a tough angle when you come straight out of a maiden and jump into a race like this. So, you know, even if he doesn't win today, I think he's probably an interesting one going forward.
Flavian cool bloodlines there.
Oh, yeah.
Curlin Scat Daddy Cross is pretty neat.
Yeah, Harmonize was such a great mare for Larkin Armstrong. So that's be exciting to see him here too. How deep were you going to go here?
I had three closers at what I think will be prices that I definitely wanted to have on the tickets, starting with number three, Bandwagon, who won't be an overly big price. But I just was very intrigued by this one's last couple races because I feel like he's going from bad situations pace-wise, a closer trying to close into races that held together out there in California, into a situation where, as noted, I think there's going to be plenty of pace. So I think maybe a ground-saving inside-out type of trip could get Bandwagon home. Then I have a horse that's been on my watch list for a while. This one is more of a guess/stab, but I think the horse is going to be 20-1. Copper Missile might not be fast enough, but this horse is off a long layoff, so I can't rule out figure improvement for age. I like the looks of these fast workouts. I didn't see them, but they intrigue me. Now, what I hope they don't indicate is a horse that's going to gun for the lead, because I don't think that'll work out. But this is a horse that might be coming back in good form and hopefully could drop in and make a run. I mean, it's a guess, but again, that horse is going to be a very, very big price. And then the 11 had a couple of angles I liked, despite the potentially tricky impost. Team Captain improved a lot for turf when getting there, and is another I thought looked a little bit against the flow. So those were three horses at decent prices I wanted to have on the tickets. I obviously respect the two and the eight you mentioned. I'm scared about I was initially a little bit more scared about the turf pick three with Warlike Goddess paying so low until you noted those prices from last year. I may get a little aggressive and cast a wider net, but definitely 3, 10, and 11. Who else are you considering besides the two and the eight?
Well, I'm glad you mentioned the 10 and the 11, because I really like Copper Missile too. I thought
interesting. Good.
For all the reasons you mentioned there. Let's see. I think Rose Collector was the other one that I had kind of circled, and will probably end up using. If you catch a price on both ends of this pick three, it could pay pretty well. The Caveman ticket of kind of 7, 1, and 6 is $126, but you know, it's, you're not going to get a $10,000 payout like we did Wednesday, but you could get rewarded.
Rose Collector is interesting, I think, on the pace angle potentially, because with all the speed in the race, sometimes it is just the best speed or the fastest horse early that gets the job done. I mean, just looking at pace figures, some of the pace figures Rose Collector's laid down, she could be out there, or he, excuse me, Rose threw me off. He could be out there there by himself potentially. Jose Ortiz has been riding so well this meet. That's an interesting long shot, and one I think I'm going to make sure to sneak. I'll put that in the notes I send around to our In the Money Plus people as one I think is worth putting in there. Because one thing about guessing at the pace in a race like this, when so many of them are going farther, that can be in jockeys' minds, that can be in trainers' minds, and it can look like a lot of speed on paper, but then if they're ridden with a question of if they're going to stay or not, sometimes the fast pace doesn't quite materialize the way we expect. But I never mind hedging my bet with one speed horse when I'm dealing with the cluster of closers. So
you'd hate to see him out in front getting really soft fractions and not have him on your ticket.
Well, this has been fun getting a chance to talk about these races with you. Anything else we should discuss before we send this one home regarding the sale or a note looking back at the Keeneland meet?
Hey, come on out. Come all to the sale and, come out early and establish some credit and get involved. You know, we're excited. We're excited to have it back on Friday evening and Looking forward to Derby week next week after this.
Keeneland.com. Is there somewhere specific on the site to go for information about the sale? Is it just super intuitive if you go to the main site? Any advice you want to give people as far as that goes?
Go to Keeneland.com, click on sales, and you'll have everything you need right there.
Dean, really appreciate you and your time today and the support of both Keeneland Racing and Keeneland Sales Company over here at In the Money Media. Really love doing the shows daily. This is something we'll definitely be looking to do again, and we look forward to having you back on soon.
Well, thanks for having me, and hope everybody closes out the meet in a good way.
For Dean, I'm Peter Thomas for Natal. May you win all your photos.